testimony today. On our anniversary Sunday, I thought I'd teach you just a little bit about the history of Open Door. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's a good crowd for Sunday school. Glad you're here. And how many like history? All right, I like history. I love history. It's a lot. It's interesting. And history of our church is very interesting. It's a fascinating history. And we'll teach a little about today, this morning, and the morning service. We'll talk about it a little bit in both. All right, let's go ahead and 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I do. And the normal verse, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about this. And our Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for, Lord, just where you brought us. Thank you for everybody you brought to church, Lord. And every life here is an investment and an eternal soul that you love that will be with you forever. And we thank you, Lord, that we're Christians and know you, and you brought us as far as Amazing Grace sings, his grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. I pray today we'd learn a little bit the history of this church, but also some practical lessons for our own lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The ministry is wonderful, and serving God is great, and being part of a church that's doing something is awesome. And the Bible says the house of Stephanas, they have addicted themselves to the ministry. And they loved it. It became their addiction. And they got the shakes and they didn't have it. And because the ministry is wonderful. And I wouldn't want to do anything else. If I was offered $1 million a year to do any other job, if I could pick the job, I wouldn't take anything about the ministry. I love the ministry. I love being involved in life. So I loved it when I was a teenager and wasn't called pastor. I just like it's a fulfilling, rich, and eternal work that we do. Paul talked in this passage that he was going to stay where he was for a little while. He said, I'm going to come to you eventually, but he said, I'm going to stay here right now. And he said, because there's an open door. And verse 9, he's talking about the city of Ephesus. For a great door and effectual, it's effective, is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. It's a fascinating thing there because he says, I'm here in Ephesus. I'm going to stay here for a while because God has given me a great open door. Teenagers, you're in here. So come on in. So, all right. And let's find them spots in here. We're pretty packed out. All right. We switched it on you. And all right. So there to get the whole lesson on the Bible part of the lesson here, right to the history, it says here, an open door is, the door is open. I'm a very effective ministry here in Ephesus, but there's many adversaries. There's many enemies. And you'll find in the Bible where there's going to be a lot of blessings, there's going to be a lot of enemies to meet you there. Nehemiah found this out. There's so many stories in the Bible. When good things are going to happen, when God wants to work, of course, Satan's going to go there and try to fight it. And so he says, you know what? I am going to stay here because God's given me an open door. Now, can I tell you, a lot of people have said, I'm leaving because there's many adversaries. But he said, I'm going to stay because there's an open door. I understand the adversaries come with it, but that's just part of the territory. It'd be like a football player today on Sunday saying, you know what? I love scoring touchdowns. I just don't like anybody trying to tackle me. And so as long as nobody tries to tackle me, I'm going to score touchdowns. Well, that's nice, but you're not going to be in a real game where it matters, and your scores aren't going to mean anything. That's what he said. He said, I know the devil's here. I know I'm getting attacked. There's many adversaries. And that right there, we're an Open Door Baptist Church. There's an open door and there's many adversaries. That's the history of Open Door Baptist Church. It has been an open door and many adversaries. We knew this week. This week, we have a special day today and a big day. So guess what? This week, was the hardest week I've had in probably a year. I got blasted this week. I told my wife, I said, honey, I remember Monday afternoon spending some time with somebody. I don't know what else happened this week. I don't remember the week going by. It's just a blur to me. I had more chaos, more emergencies, more battles, more stress this week than I have had in so long. I literally would hang up the phone from one emergency and the phone would ring with the next one. And then the first one would call me back while I'm talking to the second one. It was just that kind of week. That has always been our history. It's been whenever God's working, the devil's attacking. And that's kind of been it. If you can understand a theme, that's fine. God can do whatever he wants. Let me take you to Philippians a little bit here. Philippians. And a couple verses to give you kind of that thought. Because I find people saying crazy things like, well, it's going really hard and there's a lot of battles here, so God must not be in it. And I always think, either you don't read your Bible very well or the devil's talking to you. You think Jesus had no battles? Read the book of Acts if you don't think where God's working, the devil attacks. It's everywhere in the Bible. It's there's many adversaries. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, only let your communication be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether we come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Not supposed to be afraid of your enemies. Nothing terrified by your adversaries. Acts 27:25, Paul says, and I believe it's even as God said. I believe God, and it'll come to pass even as God has said. There's a faith there. You just trust God, and there are adversaries. And by the way, Paul was being in the middle of a storm and about to sink in a boat. And he says, I believe God. It's going to be just fine. And this week, I had major, major catastrophic emergencies just coming at me left and right. But I was fine. I was fine. Part of the reason is the Bible says this. Now, the Lord work in your life that after you have suffered a while, he may make you perfect, establish and settle you. Suffering and battles make you a lot tougher, make you able to handle a lot more, make it so that everything is not the end of the world. You know, when you're 15 and your boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with you, or the world's ending. And when your problems when you were 17, they were so catastrophic and you had problems. How many would like to trade your problems now for when you were 16 or 17? As a matter of fact, you'd be singing in the rain and laughing about it if your problems came back then. The problem is most people don't grow and they continue to be whatever problem comes up is always too big for them because they don't let the Lord work in their life. They don't learn to trust God. And Open Door has been an intense battle the whole time. Open Door, really, the whole thing started when I was 16. When I was 16 years old, I even told this story in church. I was in church, Pastor Much was preaching. I was in the front row over here on this side. And I was sitting there, and this isn't very Baptist sounding, but I was literally sitting there, and suddenly I just saw a vision. And I was in Seattle. I don't know how I knew it was Seattle. And my friend Roman White was with me, and we were witnessing him preaching on a street corner in Seattle. And Pastor Much would preach, and I was staring at him, but I knew when it happened. I was a baby Christian. I mean, a baby Christian. Didn't know anything about the Bible hardly. And but I knew when it was done. Pastor got about done, and I almost snapped back into the service and saw you know, and listened to the rest of the message. And afterward, I told my friend Roman, I said, I just had a vision from God. Now, I didn't even know what a vision from God was, but I told him that. When the Lord works, the Bible says, when I pour out my spirit, your young men shall dream dreams and your old men shall see visions. And I saw that. So I told Roman all about it. We wrote all of it. And we got excited. You know, God was working our lives. We were seeing God do great things. We wrote it all down, went to Pastor Mutchler, and I think he thought we were crazy. Because we were pretty crazy at the time. And so he said, okay, well, that's great. Just pray about it. Keep serving the Lord and see what happens. And, that was what he said to do. So that's pretty much what we did. But it's kind of strange. Everything kind of kept on going in my mind and in circumstances. It seemed like I'd have to go up to Seattle for some reason. And my burden kept growing for the Seattle area. And, of course, at this time, I was in Oregon City, Oregon, so God just kept on putting Seattle in my heart. When I was 17, I finally went to my pastor and said, I think God wants me to go to Seattle and pastor there someday. And he said, okay, well, just go get trained for it. And of course, I was 17, not quite ready to pastor yet. That had a way to be ready to pastor until I was a freshman in Bible college. Then I knew everything. And so I was ready for it then. But I graduated from high school. I graduated at 17 from high school. But you know, the Lord just said, don't go to college yet. And so I spent the next year and a half just buried in the ministry. Pastor Mutchler just took me under his wing, and he just gave me this incredible latitude and ministry training. He took me everywhere he went when he was going someplace to preach or buy stuff. Anything to do with the ministry, he just took me with him. I started a little side business of hauling and landscaping so I could control my schedule, and I worked maybe 15 hours a week for myself to pay for my gas in my truck, and then I just did ministry stuff all day, every day, 40, 50, 60 hours a week. Just was having a great time. I was preaching twice a week. I ran a nursing home, preached in jail, ran a bus route, was a bus captain, just totally involved in ministry. Then I went off to Bible college in 1989. I went to Bible college, and off I went. And up till then, that was kind of all my training, and that was all just having a heart for the ministry and just waiting for God's time. Eventually, I went to Bible college, and I already knew what I was going to do. I knew I was going to come back here. I knew I was going to pastor by that time. Took me about a year and a half to realize that God wanted me a pastor. I didn't know I could ever be a pastor, and then I knew I was going to pastor there since I was 17. Went to Bible college, started Bible college. And with Seattle on my heart all the time. Now, the Bible college I went to is very intense, very hard. I got married while I was in Bible college, had three kids while I was in Bible college. And so it took me a while to get out of Bible college. And the whole time, Seattle was on my heart. I worked on what's called a hub in a trucking company. I worked for a trucking company. In the hub, all the shipments from that region of the Midwest would come to our terminal. Our terminal was in Illinois, and then they would get sent out to all over America. And we have doors for everywhere, all over Florida, California, all over. And of course, we had a Seattle door that we shipped to Seattle. And I don't know why, but I was so excited about coming to Seattle, and it was so much in my heart, and it was just supernatural, the burden was, that I would go to the Seattle door when I had spare time and just look at the address and pray for the people there at that address. And I didn't know one city from another, and they said all the cities wrong. Puyallup and, Snoqualmie-Ish-K, you know, and all these things that I said all wrong. But I prayed for those areas and just had a burden to come out here. And finally I graduated, 1997. I learned a lot about the ministry while I was in Bible college on the weekends. Bible college is great, Bible college is fine, but that's not what taught me the ministry. I learned more before I went to Bible college than I learned in classes. Classes were good and fine, and I paid attention and stuff, but really, the ministry is hands-on. It's like somebody teaching you how to fix a car, and you never, you know, turn a wrench. Just kind of, you got to kind of do it. But on the weekends, I buried myself in Chicago, but I usually spent about 30 hours a weekend in the ministry, just morning till night, Saturday and Sunday, and just working with people, trying to rebuild lives, counseling, helping people every weekend, winning souls, doing all those things, and really developed what I wanted to do in the ministry, both in my time as a teenager, and then I really learned how to love people, how to fix problem lives in Chicago. Everybody's life was a disaster, and try to fix lives. And so really, I developed really what I wanted to do in the ministry. I knew what I wanted to do before I left. I couldn't wait to get started. And eventually I took a survey trip here. I drove out here from Chicago. I think that was 1995. I was so excited to drive here. I drove from Hammond, Indiana to Bozeman, Montana, nonstop, and by myself. And it's 22 hours straight. I didn't stop for sleep, didn't stop for any breaks, just went to the bathroom and bought food and ate it while I was driving. And I was excited to get out here. Looked at the area, looked for the churches there in the area, drove around, prayed, and drove back to college and got ready to come out here. And so I moved out here in 1997. And in 1997, I went down to Oregon first because Pastor Mutcher was there, and I had my in-laws there, and we could stay there while I tried to find a house up here and got settled in. And then in 1997, we moved up here in the summer. I transferred my Bible college job at the trucking company. I transferred it out to here. I thought my back had been messed up in college. It was a very hard on your back job, but better enough, the Lord opened up where I got a job backing up trailers to the dock and hooking trailers together into sets and things. So I was working out in the yard with semis and trucks and trailers, and so it wasn't bad on my back. When I transferred here, I thought they had that same position, but they didn't. It was too small, and so I had to go back on the dock with my bad back and start lifting things and lifting heavy things all the time and start doing that. So I came here, transferred my job, started working midnights, and then I moved up here, got a house, and we began planning for starting the church. I was working midnights the whole time and doing that. We didn't raise any support. My home church sent me money just because they wanted to. I didn't ask for it. I did not want to raise support for a couple reasons. The biggest reason I didn't want to raise support is I wanted to be free and not obligated to anybody. It's that simple. I wanted to go and spend time with God and make sure I believed exactly like He believed, that I was going to do the church exactly like He wanted, and I didn't want anybody to be able to say, I'm sending you money, I want this kind of church. I wanted to just be able to do whatever, any kind of church, any way God changed, any ideas of mine that are wrong, any doctrine that was wrong. I wanted to be free to make it God's church where He could do whatever He wanted and have it be exactly like He wanted, and there was no strings or anything else like that. That's what we did. The first year, I didn't fellowship with many people. I spent time with God. I spent a lot of time praying, studying the Bible, and working, and really tested everything I believed and made sure that I was going to do things God's way. And we really set an establishment where I said, this is what the Bible says. This is what God wants in a church. This is the way we want to do the ministry. This is what God wants. And we set that course, and we said, we know what we want. We know what we believe. We know the way God wants us to do it. We're going to do this. And by the way, it's exactly the same today. None of that, nothing has changed. We decided what we believed. We sought God for many years, and we haven't changed because things didn't go good or things didn't look right or because it wasn't popular or because it wasn't popular in Seattle or it's not what Christians want. The chart is set, and it's not going to change while I'm pastor because we know what God wants in a church, and it's His church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's His church. So it matters what He wants. We started the church. And let me say this. As a young man, 16, 17 years old, 18 years old, I really started to get a vision of God doing certain things. And it was from God. Big things. Things you would think I'm crazy if I told you. I don't even tell people my vision. I tried it a couple times and people thought I was nuts. So I quit telling them. I don't tell people anymore. I don't. You walk around and say, "What's the vision, Pastor?" I'd say, "Just wait and see," because you won't believe it. And so I don't tell people. I guess I'm too insecure to get the rejection or something. But I don't tell people. God said, "I'm going to do some really, really, really big things," and I believe Him. In my life, when God's led me, He's led me very clearly. The Bible says, "My sheep know My voice, and they follow Me." I've never rebelled against God. I've always sought God's will. And every time God's led me in my life, it's been clear, and I've done it, and it's been right. And when I say that, I don't doubt what God said. I've learned that God doesn't tell you when. He just tells you what. And Sunday morning's sermon will be on that a little bit. This vision came, and we started the church, and that vision didn't happen at all. And just this church will run thousands of people someday if we stay on the right course, and we will have a global impact. This church will, but I didn't have an impact on the block around the church when we started the church. We didn't have an impact on anything. We started the first Sunday in October, 1997, and I had a good amount of Christians at my job, and a bunch of them came to support me. And so on our first Sunday, we had 33 people. And by the way, we didn't have one prospect. I mean, one. We didn't have anybody. Let me go back a little bit. Take it back. I knew one person. They weren't a prospect. In 1992 or 93, I believe it was, my wife was raised by her stepmom, but that's all she knew. She never had any contact from 2 years old up from her biological mom. Her biological mom contacted her when my wife was 22 and said, I would like to meet you. This is me, and I would like to meet you someday. And so my wife went to her parents, as she should have, and said, if I want to meet her, would you allow that, and would that be okay with you? And if they would have said no, she wouldn't have, because they raised her. And so she went, they said, you know what, if you want to meet her, that's fine. She lived in Federal Way, Washington. And actually, she met my wife's dad in Germany and then lived in Portland. We had no idea she was in Federal Way, Washington. So up we came to Federal Way, met them, we turned off on 320th, going north on I-5, took a left, went over I-5, and right when I was right by that Presbyterian church there on the left, a big tall with a pointy roof, right when I was right there, God said, this is where you're going to be. Now, when God said Seattle, Seattle's a big area. I could be Edmonds, Woodinville, I could be Bellevue, it could be Tacoma, it could be anything, but God said, this is where you're going to be. This is where I want you. I want you in the Federal Way area. Drove down to their house down past 99 there and out off 320th. And so right then, through all that trip, I was saying, God, this is awesome, God. Now I know specifically where I'm going to be. Went and took the tour of Seattle. They took us and showed us everything. We were in the Space Needle, and I was just looking at souls. I was looking every direction and looking at souls every direction, thinking, now, I got to come reach these people someday. Lord, let's get there quick. So we got here. 1997 started the church, 33 first Sunday. But a lot of them are people who are established in their church, who are good guys, good ladies. They just wanted to be a blessing to me on the first Sunday. None of them came back the next week. We had 12 the next week. And then we had no momentum. We had a big room and few people. And that 12, of course, 5 of that was my family. Before we started the church, I had been in all kinds of spiritual warfare. I've been serving the Lord, winning souls, doing God's work for a long time. But before we started the church, I had never faced such spiritual oppression. We went under attack. I remember one day I finally said to my wife, because my wife and I have always had a fantastic marriage. I mean, as good as two humans can get along, we've had it. But I noticed there was just contention in our house. And it was just not like it normally was. There was just a strife there. And I remember one time I said to my wife, I said, can you just feel it? Can you just feel evil in our house and feel evil all around everywhere we go? She said, honey, I thought I was going crazy. I didn't want to say anything to you. I said, I have never felt anything like this before. A major attack on our minds of discouragement. And again, I faced discouragement. I faced battles. The devil attacked me. But I'd never faced anything like this. And literally, the spiritual war got so intense. Again, I sound kind of crazy when I talk about it, but literally it went from the spiritual to the physical. Physical things happened from the spiritual realm. It was intense as we started the church there. And then as we started it, it was crazy. We would have we'd have somebody, and I'd knock on a door, and I was working full time at night, but I was knocking on doors 5 days a week. So I'd get up in the morning. I'd get home at 8 a.m. or whatever. I'd sleep for maybe 4 hours and off I'd go start door knocking and come home and spend time with the family and off to work at night. And that was my day every day. But as I'd go door knocking, there were so many weird things that happened. I'd find somebody and I'd knock on the door and I'd tell him what it was. I said, you know what? This is what I'm looking for. And I think of one guy, he was excited about coming to church. He was an established Christian who knew how to win souls. He could have really been a big help. And he said, I'm excited about this. I've been looking for this for years. I'm going to be there Sunday. And that week, his car got totaled. It was things like that all the time. I had one guy, he was a business owner, a pretty sharp guy, and he kept telling me he's going to come to church, and he kept on not coming. And I'd visit him. He'd say, I really am going to come. He says, but I can't make it to church. I'll have some customer call me with an emergency on Sunday morning. I'll go out. My car won't start. He says, I don't understand this. I've never seen anything like this in my life. One day, we had church, and all of a sudden, he comes in, I mean, like 30 minutes late to church. There was nobody else there. It was just him. He's the only one. We had nobody at service. And I was in the middle of my sermon preaching, and he came in. And so he just looked disheveled. I said, what's going on? He says, I decided I was going to come today no matter what. He said, I've been driving my truck for 7 years. He said, my truck ran out of gas, but my truck is not on E. And he said, I said, you know what? I'm going. I got to see why I can't make it to church. So I called a cab, and a cab dropped me off. Can you give me a ride home? It was like that in everything. Everything, somebody would start coming, they would get in a car wreck. Somebody would start coming, they'd get a job offer in another state. Somebody would start coming, we'd start rebuilding their life, and a bad boyfriend would come back to them. A drug addict friend would call them up and get them everything we did was a battle and a war and an attack. And our church went down and down, and we started to average, for that year, including the 33 at the start, we averaged 7 for the year, with my family being 5. That was our average Sunday morning attendance. If that tells you how many we averaged. We had 13 weeks where nobody came on a Sunday morning or Sunday night at all. We just set everything up. I preached to my family, and not a single soul was there for 13 weeks in a row, just me and my family. We kept on working hard, and I'm telling you, there was such a war. It was so dark. My wife had an ectopic pregnancy that burst, and she almost died. She had to have emergency surgery. I was at work, and we just got in our church up to about 15 people, and that looked like a lot of people then. And just got about to 15 people. I was working on the dock. I was walking out of the trailer, and a big 500-pound crate fell on my Achilles tendon and smashed my foot and leg, and I couldn't walk for 3 months. And our church went back down to zero. I couldn't do any. I couldn't even stand. I could stand with crutches, but my leg would immediately swell. And I'd preach to nobody at church while my leg sat there swelling while I was preaching the whole time. It was intense. It was tough. It was hard. There were many adversaries. toward the end of that year, I was going in massive debt every month because our offerings were, we figured out the offerings. We had 3 months where outside of my personal income, the offering to the church for 3 months was $36. Well, the rent was $450 for the building. That didn't pay for 1 month's phone bill. And every other bill the church accumulated, all the things we had nothing. I was paying the church rent every month. I was paying the church bills. I paid every church bill. When he printed tracts, I did them. And I wasn't making enough money. I had a family and expensive live out here. And we were going in massive debt. At the end of the year, I said, you know what? Nobody's coming. I'm going to restart the church and have a new grand opening Sunday. And nobody's even going to know we had a grand opening Sunday because nobody knows we're here. So we went out and we had a new grand opening Sunday. So it depends on how old we are and when you want to start counting. And we restarted the church after a year. I called a friend back in Indiana who is a tremendous soul winner, just had a big impact on people. His name is Matt Berkland. I said, Matt, he had graduated from Bible college, really just kind of hanging around, but he could get people to come to church. I said, I'm going to restart my church. I need you to come help me. If you'll do it, I'll pay for you to come out here. I'll put you in a hotel, and I need your help. That was the maxing out of my credit card right there. After that, I had nothing left. If it didn't get started, and by the way, I am not endorsing you doing what I did with my finances, okay? Don't do it. So he came out, and in 2 weeks, we knocked on 5,000 doors. Try doing that sometime. By the way, I did it with my bad leg. And a restart in the church, and there are many adversaries. Nobody's coming at all. We restarted the church. The Friday before we restarted the church, Esther was watching my wife bake bread. She was standing on the counter, and she's holding onto the edge of a counter, and she's kind of standing on a little bookcase underneath the counter there. And she fell, and when she fell, one of her hands held on, and she kind of twisted and fell. And what happened is it broke her arm because she held on and twisted, and it's called a spiral fracture. No big deal. We took her to the hospital. But the pediatrician we went to said it's a spiral fracture. They must have twisted her arm and broke her arm. And so they called CPS on us. So we go to the emergency room. No big deal. I'm going to get it fixed. Here comes CPS into the emergency room. I wasn't there. I was working. It was late at night. I was at work. And CPS comes in the room. And literally the workers at the emergency room, the nurses and stuff, said, what are you guys doing here? Look at this family. Look how loving they are. this is an accident. And they said, no, we got to investigate it. We got the Adolf Hitler of all CPS workers. By the way, church has started in 2 days. She came to our house. I was out door knocking. And she said, we're taking our kids on Monday. She didn't say we're investigating. She says, we're taking our kids on Monday. I called my wife. I just happened to, no cell phones in those days. Called her on the phone, said, how's it going? Bawling her eyes out, said, they just came by and said, they're taking our kids on Monday. And that was many adversaries. So went in on Sunday, had our big day, restarted the church, not knowing if I had my kids on Monday. That was how life went. Long story short, they investigated and they came to us and said, we're really sorry we made a mistake here. And I said, give me that right or I'm suing you. So I have it on CPS letterhead that they made a big mistake and they're very, very sorry. And so we have a letter on file. And so, by the way, they started grilling my other kids. What happened to her? She was holding on to the thing and she fell. And that's what happened. But praise the Lord, nobody in the church knew what was happening on Sunday, but we had about 28 people. And these people were people who were really looking for a church. Next, we had Old Country Buffet Day that day. We gave away gift certificates for Old Country Buffet. Nothing to, you want to attract Baptists, just give away Old Country Buffet. And then the next day, we had Family Photo Sunday. And so the people who came for Old Country Buffet, we said, next week, we're going to give you a free family photo. We're going to have a photographer at church. And the next week, I think we had 33 again. And the next week after that, we had like 25 people who stuck. I thought I had 10,000 people. I was so excited. And there were people who seemed like they liked the church. They wanted to be there. And we started building with those people and working with those people. And that's kind of where the church got its foothold. yes, here we are on my notes. We got those people, and we stayed 25. We'd go up to 30. We'd go down to 15. We'd go back up to 20. We'd go up to 25, down to 20. Up to 35 during the fall program, down to 25. We couldn't get people who were really committed. We have people who are committed now. You know, we had 6 years, the first 6 years of church. And the Lord, I won't have time to tell a story, but the Lord really revealed to me that, you know what, these are nice people and everything, but they don't understand the vision you have and what we're trying to do here. See, Open Door is not a church just trying to be a church. We're a church who believes in the power of God and revival and holiness and winning the world to Christ and passion for God and not being mediocre. And I mean, we're intense about this thing. We're serious about the Lord. We believe God can do great things. We believe in revival and all these things. We're not just another church. And I had people come in who were like, this is nice. And they would come to church and sit in the pew, but they wouldn't do anything. And so we had about 6 years of those people. We picked up just two people during that entire time who were actually really part of our church. That was Matthew and Jess. Outside of that, it was just people, they were just coming to church. And that's fine. We're glad to have them. I just love them to death and preached and had a good time with them. And those people, we still know some of them, and they're friends and nice to us, and we love them. Eventually, the tide turned, and nothing. I could tell you some giant event, but in due season you reap if you don't faint. We just kept on preaching. Eventually, what happened? The church grew enough. We got a little bit of money in, and I did not. You'll look at my boots back there. Those boots. I decided that I was going to go into ministry, and so I was not going to buy another pair of boots. And if those boots fell off my feet, I didn't care because I was going to be in the full-time ministry. I'm not a dock worker for my life, eventually, I the church had grown enough where we're getting a pretty good income, you know, and then. I was getting my tax return back because the size of my family, my income was so low. I get big tax returns, and I said, you know what? I think I could go 3 months. Of part-time work and part-time ministry and be a part-time worker instead of full-time. Went to my boss, who's a good guy, Christian. I said, can I go part-time and I want to go part-time ministry and see if I could do it. And after 3 months, I think the church can grow enough where I can do this. He said, well, you're going to lose all your seniority. You're going to lose $3 an hour. I said, that's fine. So off I went part-time. Did my tax return, lived off that. And for 3 months, just just hit it hard. I mean, working about 20, 25 hours a week, maybe 30 some weeks, and just knocking on doors, witnessing to people, writing letters, praying, doing things. And it was awesome to be part-time. Oh, it was a little more sleep. You'll see in the video, look at the picture of me holding my children on my lap. And look at my face. I look like a zombie. I was exhausted. I was tired and worn out. But I was part-time now, working hard. We did that for about 2 years. And at the end of 2 years, I told my boss, I think I can go full-time ministry. And I think I've got a tax return coming. I can go 3 months. I think we can try this. And so he said, well, let me do this for you. I'll put you, because once you're off this, I can't rehire you. And if it doesn't work out, he says, I'll have you work enough hours to cover your benefits, which is 18 hours a month. And you work those 18 hours a month. And then if at the end it doesn't work out, you can come back part time. And so we did that. We kept we're 18 hours a month, which isn't very many hours, and did the full-time ministry, and the church began to really get a core together. I remember the Davises came, and they were an important part of our church getting established, and they started bringing the Warwicks and others. And we started to get families in here at that time, during that time, where really they got it. They knew what we wanted to do. They knew where we wanted to go. And they understood the passion. And people even started helping. That was amazing. I will do everything and never complain. It's just me. I don't whine. It's just not part of my makeup. I don't whine. If nobody tonight does anything to clean anything up in church, I won't whine. I won't gripe. I'll just do it. And that's just me. So people would not do anything and just, I guess they just figured everything got done miraculously and everything got done. But eventually we got people who wanted to help, wanted to participate, wanted to win souls, wanted to work in the ministry, wanted to teach classes and work in the nursery. We got the Huggins. We've got Ron and Pam eventually began coming, and Tina started coming, and Robbie had come for a long time, but Robbie actually got it and really started becoming a part and faithful. And others of you started coming and really got a core together. It took us 7 years to get the core of the church together. 7 years. So if you ask how old our church is, I say, well, maybe 15, maybe 14, maybe 8. It just depends on, because we have two people left from 7 years ago. It's a whole new church. And that's fine. The one thing that really helped us is the bus ministry. We got the kids coming, but I also had an open door to get the adults coming. One night I counted on a Sunday night. I said, how many of you came on the bus and I got you coming from the bus route? We had 19 adults. We had 19 people on Sunday night service that we got coming from me working in Appian Way. And that's what happened. How many of you were here that came from Appian Way? And Ron and Pam, you didn't ride the bus really, but 1, 2, 3. And your kids, there's probably at least a dozen people, maybe 15 people that are here from those days of Appian Way. It was a really great open door there. So the church got going. We got the core together and got that. And then about a year and a half ago, we were going to church on Sunday morning. We get to church in our old building, and our roof is on the floor. The pipe had broke upstairs, and the entire building was destroyed. On my phone, I had the owner of this building's number. His name's Leonard. And I called him and I said, hey, Leonard, he tried to get me to rent his building. We used it for one special meeting. It was too expensive. I called him. I said, Leonard, I need to rent your building. He says, good. I've been hoping you'd do that. I said, I need to rent it in 45 minutes. And he says, what? I said, my building is destroyed. And I got to have church this morning. And he said, all right, I'll let you go over there. So off we came to this building. Everything was mobile. Everything loaded in the shuttle every Sunday night. We drove the shuttle over here and had Sunday school at 10 a.m. in this building. And then that building was $750,000 damage. It was done. And we negotiated. We got this building. This building helped us grow tremendously. Since we've been in this building a year and a half, we've grown probably about 70% in that year and a half. And it will grow a lot more during this fall program, Lord willing. And so that was a big blessing that came along. And so that was great. We moved to the building. The door is really opening. But there's going to be many adversaries. When this week came and just started, when the bombs just started dropping this week, you know what I did? Must be a big day Sunday. Amen. What is about anniversaries? Next year we're going to have nothing on the start of October. And the devil's going to attack anyway. And you know what? It just, I learned a few things that God taught me. One, there's a reason the devil attacks. God's getting ready to do something. God's involved. And the devil's not worried about people doing nothing. Do nothing, the devil's just going to sit on you. You start getting up and fighting, he's going to start swinging back. That's why I learned that about the Lord. You got to do that. Just a few things about that. The few high times and low times. One time I had my Josiah cracked his head open. My wife had to stay home with the babies. And so I went to church and had one lady show up. I never go into a room alone with a lady. And I had one lady show up. I didn't know what to do. I'd always said, Lord, if two or more gathered in your name, I got two, but give me three. And I decided, there's a lot of windows in the building, I decided to have the service. I remember it as leading singing. You ever led singing with two people? And it's not a lot of questions who hit the bad note, you know. And then of all the crazy things, this is when nobody was coming, in comes this sharp family, the kind of family I've been looking for, kind of family I've had together, and they walk in and look at us. Oh, how I love Jesus, me and her. And they sit down, and I said, hi, good to meet you. Oh, good to meet you. Is this your wife? No. They didn't come back. And we had things like that happen, and you just go on. You just keep on going. We had services where they rented our building out, and they didn't tell us. So we got to church. We didn't have a building. We had services on a shuttle. Just a few humorous things. I'll finish up. The lowest times of all were Sunday nights, because I worked on Sunday night. And I was working midnight, so the weekend I couldn't get my shift right of sleeping, and I'd just stay awake all day and lay in bed. And so Sundays I was exhausted, and I couldn't sleep on Sunday afternoon either. And I'd preach, but I had to set everything up. We had to set everything up. Everything had to be hauled and moved, and it took a long time. Wouldn't get back till 9:30 at night or whatever, and then I'd go out and spend my prayer time, having not slept the whole weekend pretty much, and nobody came to church, and then I'd go punch in at work. And that was the longest night. I'd have to work 10, 12 hours on Monday morning. So I would get home at usually around noon after that long weekend, because I'd punch in at midnight. And I was so drained on Monday that it was a one day I didn't work. I always thought I had Monday off because I wasn't thinking clearly. And later on, you know what? I worked Sunday night and I worked Monday night. I didn't have Monday off. I just thought I did because I didn't go door knocking that day. And I worked that night a 10 or 12 hour shift. And then I worked the next night, usually an 8 or 9 hour shift. That's not a day off, but I was so busy. And it was years later, I thought, I didn't think Monday was my day off, but I actually wasn't a day off. And so that's what it is. And the last thing I'd like to say, one thing I've learned, I've just learned that if anybody comes to church, I'm happy. I can preach to 10 people like I can preach to 10,000 people. If somebody's there to hear the word of God, and I have the privilege to be God's spokesman, which I don't deserve, I am so thrilled on Sunday. And it might be a lower attendance day. Don't come to me and say, Pastor, where is everybody? You know what? Tell me where we got plenty of people. And one person's valuable and worth preaching to. And many a Sunday did we have just my family. Hope you'll hang around. Look at all there's some things up here from different trips and a lot of things all around the room. Take a look at some stuff. We're going to pray and be dismissed. That's kind of the history. We'll tell you a little more during the church service of the history. But God has been good. And in due season, he's going to do great things. He's already doing great things. We can wait on God. It's his church. It's his life. Whatever he wants to do is fine. We trust him. He knows what's best. We'll just keep on working and praying. And by the way, when we have 100 and some people this morning, I won't be any better of a pastor than I was when I was preaching to just my family. It's not a crowd that makes it good. It's God and faithfulness to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to be here and share the good things you've